Pastor asked me to teach tonight, and I'm sure it wasn't the pastor that said it. I think it's more the Holy Spirit because, and I appreciate everyone being right here. I don't have to look anywhere else. I don't have to go like this. So that's really nice. Every time I'm asked to preach, it's like, that means God has something he wants to say to me. So I have to deal with me first. And so I dealt with me, and now it's your turn. Right? So I find it interesting that he does that every time. We're going to talk about worship tonight. That's something else nice Pastor didn't say. You're going to talk on this. So I appreciate that. And so we got to worship, and it's always a blast to do that with my wife, Sherry. And she's my wife. You didn't know that. And so here we are. Thank you, God. And Lord, direct my heart, Lord, in the way that you want this to go, and speak to your kids. And we're here for you, Jesus. And I pray that that's what our heart truly is, that we are here for you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. It's going to be short, first of all. I like short. And there'll be no challenge there on time. And let me see here. I think we'll just start right here. All right, we're directed, guys, gals, to have a song of praise on our lips. There are at least, and I didn't look them up, there are at least 48 Bible verses about singing worship. That is, singing and worshiping. Psalm, I'll give you some, we're going to be in some word right now. You don't have to look up anything yet because it's going to go fast, this part. Psalm 71:8. These are some verses on praise and worship. Psalm 71:8. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. We'll dissect these a little bit later. Psalm 43. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Psalm 98:1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. He has done marvelous things. Isaiah 42:19. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the end of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that fills it, the coastlands and their inhabitants. And last one, I think. Exodus starts at 1. Then Moses, a little tiny short story. Then Moses and the people sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my song, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts are cast into the sea, and his chosen officers are sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered him, they that went down into the depths like a stone. I like that one, like a stone. I don't know why I like that. Like a stone. And Ephesians, not, I lied, there's another one. Ephesians 5:19 says, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. That should have been read as a continuous, sorry. I'll do it again. I got lots of time. Addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. There, sounded better, didn't it? This is a reminder where praise comes from. There's another one. Oh, you're going to have to suffer through it. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Okay, that was all of them. At least all that I made notes on. Like I said, there's more than 48. We could go there, but nope. Now, worship. what it means. It means to turn toward and kiss. I like that. That's a good picture. We're supposed to turn towards the Lord, which means what? We're typically not looking at the Lord. We're supposed to turn towards the Lord and kiss him. That's really intimate. That means full attention. But that's where the Lord wants us. When we're worshiping, he wants full attention to us. I'm sure I've got it later, but I'll go ahead and touch on it now. And I'll probably touch on it again later, and maybe even in the middle. But full attention. Man, a lot of stuff dragging me away from this, from worship. Even here, I'm like, okay, this for me was work. Just so you know, this was work. I enjoyed it because I'm with my wife, but that wasn't worship to me. Worship to me is out there, okay? Worship to me is when I can, dare I say, turn to the Lord and kiss. Worship is not playing an instrument. Although it is, although even worship is, just so you know, worship is even reading God's word because he's worthy, and that's worship. Even reading his word, says the scripture. That was just extra points there for you. Now, there's a dual point in worship and praise. So I'm going to go back and dissect ever so slightly those verses, not all of them and not a lot, so I won't wear you out. So there's a dual purpose in the point of praise and worship. I'll just hit the high points. In Psalm 71:8, it said, and with your glory all day long. I'll have to read the whole thing. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. So that means if I'm praising, that means he's filling me all day long. So once again, I said a dual purpose. You're doing the praise, but he's filling your mouth with praise. I like that. I'm not on my own. And Psalm 43, the part I wanted to hit on was, we're opening our mouth to praise and worship him. And it says, many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Well, by me opening my mouth and praising, people will fear and put their trust in him. I like that. So there's something about us just declaring who he is that people go, oh, wow, that's an amazing God. I'd better fear him and put my trust in him. I like that. Psalm 98:1, it said, oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. That's just declaring. That's us just declaring who he is. Man, that's incredible. Okay. And then I read the long one about the Pharaoh's getting, his troopers getting all waterlogged there. And said, Pharaoh's chariots and his host are cast into the sea. Guys, that's history. There's dual point, remember? These people are declaring history. What happened? History is an incredible thing. Most people don't learn from it, do they? But it's there. Dual purpose, remember. And then Ephesians 5:19 was singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. This is a reminder to us where the praise comes from. It's supposed to come from the heart. And a couple more. Colossians 3:16, the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Okay, now picture this. So if Christ is dwelling in you, then now you're able to, it says, teach, admonish, which means build up your brother, sister, and in all wisdom, which means you get wisdom. I like that. I need it. Okay, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness. Well, I don't know how you can possibly be praising God and not be thankful. So by doing it, once again, dual purpose, by doing it, you become thankful. He makes that thankful heart in you. Okay. So God does not direct us to something that we're not capable of. His word says do it. That means we're capable of it. And apparently, by the scriptures here, the Holy Spirit, because that's what it says, indwells us, and there should be a change in us. So if we do these things, if we worship, there is a change in us. In other words, it's not all about him. That's our motive, is it's all about him. But he gives back. He changes our heart. And that's what we need, because my wife can tell you, I haven't got the best heart. Now then, a lot of people have difficulty expressing their love for God. They have excuses. They might seem legitimate, but according to God's word, and that's all that counts, the excuses don't line up. So that means there's no excuse. When he says to praise and worship in his word, you guys have got his word in your hand, it means that. So we're going to have to learn. Not tonight. I'm not going to make you. There's no test afterward. But we're going to have to learn to praise and worship him, because it changes us. I want to be changed, guys. I want to be changed. We have a job here. And that's one of them. One of our jobs is to praise and worship. And as I mentioned, we get very, very much out of it, which reminds me of Paul and Silas in jail. What do? Praise and worship. Here's the funny part, good part, whatever. They got something out of it. They got out of it. Out of jail, right? They got something out of it. They got out of jail by doing it. That's a pretty big deal, I think. The doors and shut. It busted open and hit, they walk out. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Lord. How incredible. Who knows what's ahead of us that our praise and worship is going to get us out of? I can tell you this. Depression. There's a whole bunch of depression reason to be coming down the pike really quick here. You better be praise and worship. It better be on your lips, or you're not going to make it. I'm telling you now. Praise and worship on our lips. Now, as I alluded to earlier, it's not about us only, although we're a grand recipient and thankful. It's also about those around us. As I mentioned, double see and fear and turn to him. World's watching, and that's part of what they're watching, how we do what we do. Anyway, praise and worship. Now, have you been in a worship service that touched you? You were like, oh man, that goosebumps and whatnot, and you know, all that neat stuff. I have been. Yeah, there's, it's real, but that's not what it's about. Once again, it's about our heart. And we'll come back around to this. Luke 10, you don't have to go there, quick story, and then we'll move on to another story. Martha is working in her ministry, which you might remember, she's making food. I like Martha. I'm always hungry. But you know, that's her ministry. And she wasn't tending to, well, we'll find out in a second. I'm not going to give you the whole punchline here. Her sister Mary, the former prostitute. How would you like that behind your name the rest of your life? Sorry, Mary. She doesn't care now, I assure you. She was listening. She was always at Jesus' feet. Martha was annoyed and expressed to Jesus her frustration that Mary wasn't helping. Jesus said to Martha, "You are troubled about many things. But Martha chose the good part, sitting at my feet. Thank you. The lady said, Mary. Mary. The lady said, they're helping me out here. Mary chose the good part, sitting at my feet. Thank you, ladies. The message to us with that, one of them, are keep it simple. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. I like that. I like simple. Now we see Mary, thank you, worshiping at Jesus' feet. With tears, she cleaned them. Man, I am not going to cry tonight. I was going to tell you earlier, I end up with tears in my eyes. Not tonight. Unless the Holy Spirit makes me. All right. Okay, I'm open. So Mary worshiped at Jesus' feet, and with tears she cleaned and dried Lord's feet with her hair. And then she poured oil on his head and feet. And essentially, she was saying, you're more important than my future, my hopes and my marriage, because this would have been her marriage dowry. She's pouring down to be gone forever. It was worth a lot of money. From Judah's perspective, wasteful. Why? Critical. Yeah. Something else just hit me. Didn't plan on saying this one. If you're worshiping and praising, it's awful hard to be critical. Good place to be. Real hard to be critical. Be the worship and prayer. Worshiping and praying and praising. Thank you. And don't be critical. You won't have time for it. That's a good thing. Now, we know after the fact that Mary was anointing Jesus for his death. Only a worshiper can see what others often miss. Not even his disciples understood what Jesus was all about. He had to be flat out blunt with them. Jesus, what are you saying? Guys, I'm going to die and rise again. She got it way back there. That's incredible. I told Sherry, that would make her, because she got it and she's foretelling the future, that would make her a prophetess. I've never heard that anywhere else. It's just interesting. She understood. She declared what was coming up. Pretty interesting. Why? Because she was at Jesus' feet, listening, hanging on every word. Mary knew his purpose and his plan. She was a worshiper. She is a worshiper. Right now. Right? Thank you, Lord. And we're going to be with her at worshiping. Awesome. Worship brings revelation. So Mary understood Jesus' death. In Amos 3:7, it says, surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants and prophets. And then that's why I said in this case, prophetess. Mary was always at Jesus' feet. I've read that in Norway, there is a statue of Jesus sitting, hunched over, and hooded. There's a sign next to it that says, if you want to see Jesus' face, sit at his feet. Be like Mary. When Mary poured out the spikenard on his head and feet, the fragrance filled the room. Mary got it on her. She smelled like him now. If we're not in a Mary position of worship, we may smell like it. We might even feel like it. Or get Holy Ghost chills. Or afterwards go, man, that was great. And then we go out of the worship experience because we were observing it and we're not part of it. We go out. And now what happens? oh, the world, the flesh, you're back in it. You're back in it. Then we say, Jesus, it was so cool in there. How'd I get back here so quickly? We can all experience a Mary's type of worship and smell the fragrance or hear it, but I need to make it my worship. There's a difference. There's a difference. You can watch it. You can be out there. You can see it. You can listen to it. But it's got to be you. It's got to be yours. Only Mary left a place with a fragrance on her. When I show up, is it for me? Or is it for him? Do I show up out of a sense of duty or maybe righteousness? I'm righteous, so I go to church on Sunday and Wednesday night. Or is it duty? That's for each of us to determine. Consider with me expressing our love, the different types of expression of love. We can kneel, we can clap, we can raise our hands. None of those in and of themselves make me more holy or closer to God than you. Mary humbled herself. I'm sure that that's where it really is. Whatever the Holy Spirit calls you to do for worship, that's what you need to do. But you need to be humble enough to say, oh, Lord, what do you want me to do? Is it just lifting my hands? Is it kneeling? What, Lord? Be open to the Holy Spirit. Now, you can look up Matthew 15, verse 21, and kind of hang out with me on this part. And I'm already over half done. Matthew 15, 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. I can just picture this. She wasn't going anywhere. She was bugging him. She knew that she had a need, and he was the only one that can fill it. Now, it sounds like Jesus is being mean. He's not, okay? He's drawing out her faith. It's a great story. I love this. Now, this gal had heard of Jesus. She had heard about him healing the lame, the blind, raising the dead. And she had heard the titles given to him. So she tries that approach. Son of David, she says. Jesus seemingly ignores her and turns to his disciples saying, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the Jews. I can imagine the disciples, because I've probably been one of the kind of sarcastic ones-ish. Just saying, you know. And I can just imagine them going, yeah, he wasn't sent to you. Go away. Because remember, they were trying to send her away, right? And now they're getting back up for it. Yeah, get out of here. Get out of here. I can just imagine that. I can see it totally. But she is persistent. Thank you, Lord. She hears his comment, and she is not a Jew. Aha. She's imitating the Jews. When they call to him, the Jews call to him, he stops and acts. Hard word put together. Acts. He does what they ask of them, the Jews. Likely, she has seen him herself, and that's why she knew the right words to say. because she saw it. She's just imitating what she saw. But she has the wrong approach to the Lord because she's not a Jew. Son of David is messianic. It's a term only for the Jews. He is the Messiah of the Jews, not the Messiah of the Gentiles yet until he dies. That's why he said, I was sent to the Jews. Now, you and I are not to approach him ritualistically either. We might learn the right words hither and there. You know, hanging out here might pick up on a word or two that's like, oh, that's one of our key words. Or an action. All right, here's what Christians do. All right, gotcha. All right. But it's not about rituals, okay? She gets it. Nice. So she says to herself, oh, that's not me. I'm not a Jew. I have the wrong approach. So she throws out plan A. All right, that completely bombed. Now, verse 25. Then she came and worshiped him. You got to be humble to worship, don't you? She's saying, Lord, help me. Now she worships. And he stops with his full attention to minister to her and draw her faith out more to give her her request. He could have just said, okay, done. But he's like, no, this is a teaching moment. And for ages, they're going to learn from you. That's us. But he answered her, verse 26, and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. After sincere worship, not copied from others, but desperate, this woman's desperate. Can you imagine your child in this state? She's desperate. Now, true worship. She had the Mary kind of worship. This is when we come in line with his will in our life. God wants us to be worshipers, guys. Verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Oh, wow. Real worship doesn't imitate. I don't know what worship is for you, but I do know what God's word says. It says we're supposed to be expressive. We're supposed to be humbled. Real worship looks for ways to express that close relationship that I hope we all have with him. It's not just about showing up to acknowledge. I think you guys got that. You were here on a Wednesday night. Not the kind that just shows up to acknowledge him. And you're good. We're buddies, Lord. And yeah, it's the kind when you pursue your spouse. Remember that a long time ago? That's the kind of pursuit that the Lord wants for us to have. Or like we had for our job or our career. Many of you took years and years and years in school for your career. Yeah, and God wants that pursuit of him. Are we desperate? Do we need a touch? Is it imperative that you get this? Or are we humble? There's a song that says, this is not my notes. Moving closer to him, and then there were other people that just said, I'm okay out here. I just need a glimpse of him, and I'm okay. Is that okay? You just want a glimpse? Because you can get the glimpse. You can get the glimpse of people playing and worshiping. But it needs to be your worship. That's what we're called to. Now, real worship means preparing our heart all week long. Because we're coming into his presence. I can prove that. Psalm 22, verse 3, God inhabits the praise of his people. That means he's here. Also, Psalm 34, 1, where we are to have his praise continuously on our lips. That's what he wants for us. Continuously, guys, continuously. If it is, you'll be that, Mary. You'll have a different prayer life. And you will get intimate with the Lord. And then he'll bug you on those things like he dealt with me on. Because that's what he does. He loves you too much to leave you like you are. That is my notes for tonight. Be worshipers, guys. Praise his name. Enjoy him. Have his praise on your lips day and night. You will be blessed more than you can possibly imagine. I love you. Good night. And I get to pray because I got the microphone. Thank you, Father. Make us worshipers. Challenge us, Lord. Bend our knee. Bend our heart. And humble us, Lord, where you need to humble us. And we will give you all the praise for that. And Lord, keep your praise on my lips day and night. For your glory, we praise your name. Amen.